Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. The only LQ update I have for this week is Gratis Ubuntu Live 2008 Conference Pass. So are you interested in attending the second Ubuntu Live conference? If so, it's my pleasure to inform you that LinuxQuestions.org is able to give away one full conference pass valued at, I believe it's $895, absolutely free of charge. Now, I attended the first Ubuntu Live last year, and it was a very good event, and one you should especially be interested in if you are interested in Ubuntu. And with all that's happened in the Ubuntu community since last year, kind of culminating with the recent LTS release, I'm looking forward to attending this event again. So if you're interested in receiving this pass, head over to LinuxQuestions.org. Right on the homepage, the top thread there has more information. Pretty much all you have to do to be eligible is post in that thread saying how you're involved with the Ubuntu community or why you want to attend, and then we're going to randomly select one of those posts from the thread and give that person the free pass. Good luck. Now, on to the news. The first story I have is Microsoft walks away from the Yahoo deal. So unless you've been pretty much in a cave over the last couple of months, I'm sure you've seen that Microsoft was bidding on Yahoo. And you probably also saw that over the weekend, Microsoft has walked away from its 40-plus. I think in the end it was varying because some of it was based on the stock, but I think the highest it reached was something like $46 or $47 billion Yahoo acquisition attempt. So I've actually largely avoided the topic. I had one or two blog posts on it, but not very much. But I do have a little bit of commentary now. And I would like to note right off the bat that some people seem to think that this is just a posturing attempt by Microsoft, and that is entirely possible, theoretically. I'm not sure either way. It kind of does look like Ballmer has lost interest. But let me first say, I think that the merger would have been spectacularly bad for Microsoft, for Yahoo, for pretty much everyone involved. The cultural and integration issues alone would have been really, really tough. I'm not going to say insurmountable, but significant for sure. And there's questions about would the mail portion of the deal even gotten regulatory approval between Hotmail or Mail Live, whatever they call it now, and the Yahoo Mail. They would have had a significant portion of the online free webmail. And just in addition to that, how many high-profile departures would you have seen? How many projects that really give Yahoo much of its street credibility in the new Web 2.0 kind of space would have been crushed? I'm just not sure that Flickr's and Delicious, especially Zimbra, but many, many others, really would have gone to Microsoft originally given the choice. And I'm not sure many of their users in some cases would have gone along for that ride either. That being said, like I said, I think the deal would have been bad for Yahoo as well. I mean, Microsoft has a terrible track record on the web. And not only that, they have multiple cash cows to protect, which means that some very interesting projects or ideas just get scuttled right from the beginning. So in the end, the only way I really ever saw this deal as being feasible would have been if Microsoft would have spun things out, so their web division and the Yahoo division, into a fully autonomous company. That actually would have made some sense in a lot of ways. Those cash cows wouldn't have gotten away. The Yahoo group would have been free to make the technology decisions. But in the end, I didn't see any indication that that was going to happen at all. I'm not sure why that is internally. So, moving on to Ballmer, I really think that this just underscores the fact that he really needs to go if Microsoft is going to turn itself around in any legitimate fashion. He just seemed to have no coherent plan here. It almost seemed as if he woke up one day really wanting Yahoo and just didn't think it through fully. It's clear that Microsoft wants to compete with Google here, but they seem to want to compete so bad that they're getting a little bit irrational in ways, I think, which is likely going to end up hurting them even more. I think it's clear that they can't do it organically. I know that right now they're claiming that that's the route they're going to take, although there is some Facebook speculation at the moment. But I really don't think that Yahoo was the answer, just for a variety of reasons. So next come the shareholders in this, and there's already a ton of speculation that this is going to result in shareholder lawsuits. To me, that makes little to no sense for a couple of reasons, really. First, as a shareholder, it's going to distract the company and further drive down the price of the stock. So suing them just isn't going to do any good from that perspective. I think the more tragic part, though, is really the current state of the street in general. Everyone is just so concerned with the next day's closing price, or maybe the next quarter, but that's the long view these days, that people don't take a legitimate long view anymore, and that really is disappointing. And I think it distracts a lot of companies and doesn't allow them to make proper infrastructure and other long-term investments because they just don't pan out in the short term. And the stock suffers, and that hurts employee morale and just a variety of other things. So unless you're day trading, if you invest in a company, you should really be looking at things maybe medium to long term. And part of that really means trusting management. You should never invest in a company where you don't really trust the management. So in my opinion, shareholder lawsuits should really be reserved for, you know, gross negligence and other egregious acts. I mean, there definitely is, of course, a place for them, but they just get pulled out in some odd places these days to me. You know, and we remain far too litigious in general around here. I think the other interesting thing, if you're looking at this from a shareholder perspective, is that since the announcement was originally made, Yahoo is wildly up and Microsoft is significantly down. After the announcement was made that Microsoft was pulling the bid, Yahoo dropped pretty substantially, but now it's back up close to where they were. Microsoft is up mildly, so that is interesting to note. Now moving on to morale, most people within Microsoft actually seem to be happy about this deal falling through. Obviously, many jobs have been saved, and they get to keep their $43 billion cash hoard, which I think makes a lot of people feel comfortable, although some would say complacent and getting rid of that cash hoard really would have lit some fires. That's kind of a different side of the coin there. I think some of that happiness is going to eventually wear off as soon as they realize that they still can't effectively compete in the space. You'd think with that much cash they'd be able to eventually figure it out, but sometimes cash is just not the answer. Now, over at Yahoo, things are definitely not quite as clear. Yang and company are clearly pretty happy about this, but the rest of the staff seems to be fairly divided and people on all sides of this equation. And I think realistically, it's going to take Yahoo having a couple of very good quarters or making some really big compelling announcements for that kind of morale on the Yahoo side to change. It's just been a pretty trying 3 months for them, I think. So really, where do things go from here? There's been some talk of Yahoo grabbing AOL. I really can't see that making any sense. Let's hope that Yahoo just doesn't go out and do it just to look like they're making moves. From a technology and platform perspective, I just don't think that makes any sense. MySpace has also been thrown out there. That actually seems a little more reasonable. Although, of course, Google's been having problems monetizing the MySpace traffic, so clearly Yahoo would have even more problems unless they went with Google, which I've also seen some reports that Yahoo should buy back a bunch of its stock. And at first glance, that makes a ton of sense. Now, since the board clearly thinks the stock is way undervalued at the moment, buying back stock makes sense on the face of it. But they only have about $2.5 billion in cash, and I don't think that's going to make a big enough dent to really make it worth their while. That money could probably, at this point, be better spent elsewhere. Now, I've really only scratched the surface of this. It's just such a big announcement with so many ins and outs and angles and stuff. I'm going to give a couple additional thoughts briefly now, but as this unfolds and as I get to look at the numbers and details and things kind of come to the surface, I'm sure I'll have more commentary on this one. Just a few brief things. Obviously, I think the deal would have been really bad for open source. You know, Zimbra obviously comes to mind first, but things like Hadoop and Yahoo really does more in the open source space that they get credit for, up to and including things like PHP. And how that would have suffered under Microsoft, you know, isn't unknown, but you have to assume that it would have suffered significantly. Next, it looks like Bill Miller and a couple of the huge Yahoo shareholders, the ones that are in the 3 to 6% ownership, would have gotten behind a deal in the $35 range. And what that tells me is if Microsoft really wanted Yahoo, they almost surely could have had it for about $2 to a dollar more than what they had offered at the end. And in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't work out to be enough money. To me, that says, in the end, Microsoft really didn't want to make a deal. Moving forward, it's going to be interesting to see if Yahoo does move forward with the Google outsourcing of ads. Some speculated that it was just posturing to get a few more dollars out of Microsoft. Obviously, it would add significant amounts of revenue to Yahoo now, which they do need. If it's a good long-term strategy, that's hard to tell, but short-term, they might be forced to do something like that. And lastly, Yahoo must have made it really clear that if Microsoft went hostile, that they would poison pill themselves just to death, be it through the Google outsourcing or a variety of other things. We really don't get too many hostile takeovers in our industry, especially outside of Oracle. And Yahoo was actually set up really poorly to defend against something like a proxy fight, since the entire board comes up for election at once. So it was interesting to see that a hostile takeover didn't come out of this. And like I said, they remain pretty rare in this industry. The next story I have is the Open Solaris Community Version 2. Prepare yourself. Asana, I think, is a company that I plan on covering a little bit more as they continue to delve deeper and deeper into open source. And I've commented previously multiple times on the current messaging issue Sun has around its kind of open source participation. One of the things that Sun I haven't been following much at all is Open Solaris. There's a recent post by Ben Rockwood that kind of gets you up to speed on the current situation if you also haven't been following it. And this is from that post. Quote, Ian Murdoch's distro, formerly known as Indiana, will be birthed as Open Solaris in less than a week, being debuted at Community One on May 5th. This will be a major landmark, even in the history of Solaris, right up there with the BSD to Sys5's transition and release of the code. There is no talk at Sun regarding Solaris 11. When pushed, the only quote I get is, over my dead body, apparently coming from high within the organization. While no one will clarify on the situation, the current vibe seems to be that Solaris 10 will be with us for a very long time, an update purgatory, while the future revolves around the Open Solaris distribution. Ultimately, the decision will probably be made by Sun's attempts to get ISVs behind Open Solaris, but this is only my hunch. I'll continue pushing Sun to clarify the roadmap. Perhaps a Community One will learn more. It's time for a community reset. With the release of the Open Solaris distro, the last bits of the community started by Andy Tucker and Claire Giordano will be, in my view, gone away. The experiment and community officially ended and replaced. Rather than the community being joint owners of Solaris, it will be affirmed that Sun is firmly staying at the helm, and we're free to board the train and pitch in if we choose. Those of us fighting against the tide are now presented with a choice. Give up and try to reinvent our roles in the new reality, or continue to fight the inevitable. Like many of those in our community who still whine if an OS doesn't run on an i386 with 512K of RAM. End quote. It seems clear to me that Sun just really didn't want to give up full control of Open Solaris. Now, to be fair here, Red Hat didn't go as open with Fedora, especially in the beginning, as was initially assumed, and they're kind of making amends there. So how this will play out medium term is still up in the air. But in the end, I think much of it comes down to how Sun perceives Solaris driving its bottom line. It used to be that Solaris sold really expensive, big Spark hardware. And I don't know if that's as much the case anymore as it had been in the past. So where that leaves Solaris is a little bit unclear to me. You know, Sun is still driving innovation, and you need look no further than D-Trace and ZFS to see evidence of that, but does that sell enough Sun hardware to justify the engineering costs associated with Solaris? And I don't know the answer to that, but at some point Sun is going to have to look very closely at that question, and I don't know that they're going to like the answer that they're going to get. If they did those kind of value adds on top of the Linux kernel, I don't know that it would sell much less hardware at all. And it's very possible that it could sell more. Now, while catching up on Open Solaris and just doing some poking around and reading, I came across two very good posts by Ted. I've linked to them on my blog. In what Sun was trying to do with Open Solaris, he looks into what kinds of participation Sun was actually originally looking for when they launched the project. And then in his organic versus non-organic open source, which is kind of a follow-up, it delves into a comment originally made by Brian Aker of MySQL, now Sun, about projects kind of moving between what he called organic and non-organic, or really in the case of Solaris, to Open Solaris would be moving from proprietary to open source, organic or non-organic. these kinds of issues, I think, are going to be getting more and more scrutiny in the future. And that's just because more and more commercial open source companies are going to have to figure out their business models. And more proprietary businesses, I think, are going to be looking closer at open source. And those companies, whether they went from open source to commercial open source or proprietary to open source, they're going to have to figure out those business models and hit their revenue goals. And as that commercial open source space gets more mature, it should be interesting to see how, you know, both the market and the VCs respond in general. The last story I have is MySQL licensing redo. And this is really a follow-up to one of the more divisive announcements made at the MySQL conference. And here's a little blurb from the 451 group's blog. Quote, "After all the fuss, it appears that MySQL will be remaining open source after all. As Carl Jarnot and Mani report, Martin Mikos announced at Community One that the MySQL server will stay open source, as well as the forthcoming encryption and compression backup features which MySQL had considered making available only to paying customers. The change comes from MySQL now being part of Sun Microsystems. Our initial plans were made for a company considering an IPO, but made less sense in the context of Sun, a large company with a whole family of complementary open source software and hardware projects," writes Kaj. "My hope is that the experiment when it comes to closed source extensions developed by Sun is now ended. As far as I know, there is no existing plans for any closed source extensions to the MySQL server," adds Monty. While that seems pretty clear-cut, there is still room for a little confusion. Kaj also writes, "To financially support MySQL's free and open source platform, we have a business model which allows both community and commercial add-ons, and we remain committed to it." Monty then goes on to clarify, "I interpret this in the context of Martin and Jonathan's announcement that we will continue to support and make available commercial add-ons to the MySQL server from third parties like the InfraBright storage engine. Things that we develop ourselves at Sun, at least on the server, will continue to be open source." End quote. Now, it was always made clear that the decision to ship closed source extensions was made before the Sun acquisition, and it's good to see that Sun stepped in, listened to feedback, and then changed this. You know, it may have actually made sense for a company looking to IPO, but it certainly doesn't make sense for Sun. So it's now clear that Sun shipped server code, at least, will be open. And they also made it clear that third-party commercial extensions will continue to be embraced, and I think that's a good thing, and it kind of fosters that ecosystem which you need. The at least on the server qualifier does leave the door open for something on the MySQL, let's say, periphery to be closed, but that's actually been the case for a few years now, say the MySQL monitor, for instance. And if this is kind of an announcement and this clarification is something that you're interested in, I would head over to Monty's blog. He just made a couple posts about it, including his opinion, which follows. Quote, "I was yesterday attending the Open Tuesday Sun and MySQL event. One of the first questions I got from the audience during my question and answer session was, what is my take on the recent MySQL proposition of having closed source parts modules on the server? I was very happy to be able to say that Martin, some hours earlier, had announced at Community One that the MySQL server is, and always is going to be, open source. It's very good to see that Martin's continuing to be responsive to the MySQL community and to the MySQL customers. Thanks to Martin for doing the right thing. Thanks to the MySQL community for expressing their opinions." End quote. That's all I have for now, and thanks for listening.